In the summer of 1975, a profound LSD-induced mystical experience forever altered the trajectory of 22-year-old college dropout John Mackey's life. This moment of pure ecstatic beingness planted seeds that would grow into Whole Foods Market, transforming from a single natural food store in Austin into a cultural phenomenon eventually acquired by Amazon for $13.7 billion. What's remarkable isn't just the business success, but that this grocery empire wasn't built by a seasoned MBA, but by a philosophical seeker who initially viewed business as part of society's problems. Mackey's journey offers a fascinating window into how idealism and commerce can powerfully intersect when guided by authentic vision. His company became so culturally significant that it appeared in South Park and The Simpsons, while attracting celebrity devotees from Oprah to Matthew McConaughey. But how does a counterculture hippie become a revolutionary business leader without abandoning his core values? The answer lies in seeing business not as the enemy of social progress, but as its potential catalyst. After embracing vegetarianism despite being raised on TV dinners, Mackey moved into Prana House, an Austin vegetarian co-op that became the unlikely birthplace of a retail revolution. There, he met 19-year-old Renee Lawson, whose energy proved crucial to his entrepreneurial journey. After briefly working at a natural food store, Mackey realized, "I could run a natural food store." When Renee responded, "Let's do it," they launched Safer Way, a pointed reference to supermarket giant Safeway. With $45,000 from friends and family, they opened in a Victorian house in 1978. They learned entrepreneurial problem-solving when city officials demanded permits that would delay their opening, following their landlord's advice to work at night when inspectors weren't around. Despite attracting an eclectic clientele, including celebrities like Ram Dass, after 6 months they were barely breaking even. Mackey hitchhiked to Houston to visit his father, who introduced him to business literature like Peter Drucker's management books. This education helped him understand their competitive disadvantages, particularly their inability to negotiate better wholesale prices due to their small size. A research trip to successful natural food stores across America transformed Mackey's approach. He drew inspiration from multiple stores: Bread and Circus's pristine produce, Mrs. Gooch's whimsical decor, and Fraser Farm's innovative layouts, confirming his vision for a superior natural food supermarket. Mackey convinced Craig Weller and Mark Skiles from Clarksville Natural Grocery to merge with Saferway, creating Whole Foods Market. After initially facing rejection from his father, he secured investors and leased a 10,500-square-foot former nightclub. The new store expanded beyond Saferway's strictly vegetarian offerings to include meat, seafood, and alcohol, making it more accessible while maintaining natural food's integrity. This strategic broadening of appeal became their hallmark. When Whole Foods Market opened on September 20, 1980, it became profitable by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the first day. Within 6 months, it was the highest volume natural food store in America, attracting a diverse customer base from luxury car owners to Volkswagen drivers. Just 9 months after opening, disaster struck during Memorial Day weekend 1981. Floodwaters from Shoal Creek shattered the store's windows, creating an 8-foot wave that destroyed their entire $400,000 inventory. Without flood insurance, their dream seemed finished. Cleanup began in miserable conditions. Foul-smelling sludge, broken glass, and sewage-contaminated water requiring tetanus shots. Then, something remarkable happened. Customers voluntarily showed up to help, explaining, "That's what neighbors do." Local residents brought cleaning supplies, and even competitors offered assistance, showing that Whole Foods had become a valued community institution. Survival required capital. A $100,000 bank loan, personally guaranteed by a supportive banker, additional investor funding, and inventory from suppliers enabled their comeback. Just 4 weeks later, they reopened with an improved design and expansion plans. This near-death experience taught Mackie profound humility. Their success depended not just on their team, but on an entire community that believed in their mission. The flood became foundational company lore about resilience that would inform their culture for decades. As Whole Foods expanded, philosophical differences emerged among the founders. Their fourth store cannibalized 20% of their original location sales, creating tension with co-founder Mark Skiles, who argued, "We could live happily off just the Lamar store for years." Mackie countered, "I want to build a company, not just own one great store. We could have stores all over Texas. We could change the way people eat in America." For him, this had become a calling. Mark's departure highlighted a fundamental tension in business growth, balancing preservation against expansion to fulfill a larger vision. By 1986, after successfully operating four stores, they made their first acquisition, buying Bluebonnet Natural Foods in Dallas for $1 million, proving their model worked beyond Austin. With this success, Mackie targeted California, noting the Bay Area surprisingly lacked natural food supermarkets despite being counterculture's birthplace. Most VCs dismissed them as just hippies selling granola. Eventually, they secured $4.5 million at a $13.5 million valuation. Their breakthrough came with Whole Foods' 1992 IPO, which valued the company at $100 million and freed them from VC influence. As Whole Foods grew, Mackie developed conscious capitalism through both successes and challenges. In Berkeley, union conflicts clarified his thinking. He desired cooperation, not antagonism, between management and workers. Readings like Solomon's Ethics and Excellence and Freeman's Stakeholder Approach shaped his philosophy of mutual benefit rather than conflict. Mackie balanced two worlds, spiritual explorations revealing unity, and business readings emphasizing competition. He recognized beauty in cooperation, visible in the teamwork of store employees, while also thriving on competition personally and professionally. As the company expanded, Mackie formalized their values through a workshop that produced their Declaration of Interdependence, acknowledging the company as the hub of an ecosystem dependent on customers, team members, suppliers, investors, and communities. This stakeholder-oriented approach centered on four tenets: higher purpose beyond profit, stakeholder integration, conscious leadership, and conscious culture. While traditional business thinking often positioned profit maximization as primary, Mackie argued that profit was necessary but not sufficient, like oxygen is necessary for life but not life's purpose. In 2017, Amazon acquired Whole Foods for $13.7 billion after Jaina Partners acquired 8.8% of Whole Foods stock with plans to sell the company. For Mackie, the acquisition offered significant benefits. Amazon's long-term philosophy freed them from public market pressures, enabling higher team member pay and lower prices. Their technological expertise helped centralize operations and integrate online ordering, improvements that proved valuable during the pandemic. However, drawbacks emerged. Whole Foods lost much of its decentralization that had driven innovation, with stores becoming more homogeneous and losing local character. Despite efficiency promises, administrative costs increased while innovation declined. At 70, Mackie launched Love Life, a venture combining community living, wellness, plant-based nutrition, and consciousness-expanding practices. Whole Foods Market's legacy extends beyond transforming American grocery shopping. It demonstrates that business can drive positive change when guided by purpose beyond profit. For Mackie, this represents the beginning of a broader transformation in business's societal role.